Welcome to the Christ Community Church Montreat podcast. Kevin Allman here with Pastor Richard White. Good morning, Richard.
Good morning, Kevin.
All right, we're going to talk about sin. And you know, the scripture, Paul especially makes very clear that the sacrifice of Christ for our sin is complete, that our sin is covered because of his sacrifice. But for those of us who have accepted Christ and then ultimately find our relationship to him heightens our sense of our own sin, it sort of causes us to beg the question, so what's the consequence of the sin that happens after that? Is there, what happens?
Yeah, this is a good question because it's a daily question, isn't it? Dealing with sin in our life, sometimes persistent sin, you know, pride, unbelief, lust, selfishness, in the manifold ways that these manifest. You know, Scripture tells us, there's a Scripture, Psalm 97:10, let those who love the Lord hate evil. And then I think Paul picks up on that in Romans 12:9, where he says, let love be genuine. Here he's focused our love, not just on the Lord, but love for one another. But again, he says, abhor or hate what is evil, hold fast to what is good. So there's going to be this tension in the Christian life of loving God and battling sin, hating evil. And as much as we wish we could be done with sin and just, you know, walk with absolute purity of heart and life and this delightful sense of the presence and love of God, you know, 100% of the time, that's not what we experience in this life. We don't have the immediate presence of the Lord like we will in heaven. We have the presence of the Lord, but we also have the world, the flesh, and the devil, who are actively pursuing to, it's like an unholy trinity there, working against our faith. And so this life is going to be a battle, and it's going to be a battle of hating sin and loving God. And Scripture is just so clear about this throughout, you know. So what do I do then when I find sin in my life? You know, how do I respond to that? Well, hopefully we repent of that. In heaven, there's going to be a lot of people who struggled with a whole variety of sins, but who were repenting the whole way. There are not going to be a lot of folks in heaven. In fact, there won't be any folks in heaven who just gave in to sin and said, this is me and I'm going to live this way. Because that reveals a heart that doesn't love God, but that loves sin and didn't battle against sin. We see this, with those who struggle with pornography or those who struggle with alcoholism or some kind of addiction where they love God and their flesh is so overwhelmed with a sin, and they're struggling, but they're also stumbling a lot. But they're stumbling toward Christ, and they are living in repentance. They hate the sin, they want to break free from it. And I think that's a picture of all of us in a way. There is victory. We don't live a despairing life. I think it's very important for the Christian in battling sin to pull it together, you know, fight this, you know, dig deep. We've got spiritual resources. One of them is the grace of God, and let that grace in and marvel over the grace, receive it, believe it. Also, the work of Christ in the cross, we are a new creation in Jesus Christ, and we are to live out of that identity. We're not trying to clean up our act so that God will love us. He does love us. And he has forgiven our sin. And am I living out of that identity? That doesn't give me license to sin. If I think it does, I probably don't know Jesus. But there's a tremendous strength in living out of an identity as a new creature in Christ, or a son or daughter in Christ, that's who I fundamentally am. And so from that basis, that foundation, I'm going to fight this sin in my life. And I would be concerned if I give up in the fight, and I would be concerned for somebody who gives up and just says, "Oh well, I can't lick this. You know, it's useless." No, it's not useless. It may be a heavy battle fought to the end of your life, but it's a battle worth fighting against sin to demonstrate your love for God, to demonstrate there is the seed of grace in me, and so I'm going to hate sin and battle it. I think we need the community of faith as we battle sin. We need brothers and sisters around us who can hear our confessions, who can hold us accountable, who can pray for us in our weakness and in our struggle. So all of that is important. But, you know, Scripture again comes around with, you know, love the Lord, hate what is evil. Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 3, here he's talking about those who serve the church. And he talks about our works being gold, silver, precious stones, or wood, hay, and stubble. And he says each one's work is going to become manifest for the day, that's the day of Christ, his return, will disclose it. It will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. So there's coming a day when our works will be tested before God, and some who build rather shabbily with wood, hay, or straw, you know, it's a half-hearted effort, or I don't really care much about the church, and you know, building into the lives of the saints, and you know, encouraging brothers and sisters, and loving the brethren. That's wood, hay, and stubble. And someday we will be held accountable for how we've served Christ in his church and his mission in the world. Others build with gold, silver, and precious stones. You know, what is that? Well, I think a lot of that is it's a genuine heart toward God. We want to offer the best. We want to honor and please and glorify him and stay true to the gospel. And this Sunday I'm going to be speaking about waiting for and hastening the day of the Lord, the second coming of Christ. And just kind of a little sermon teaser here. And what does it mean to hasten the day of the Lord? Well, I think it means to live with that day very much in focus, and that's a shaper now of your day today. Well, you're going to live very differently if you have this heightened awareness and expectation of the day of the Lord. Well, that's the way we fight evil, and we're serious about sin and about loving God and living a life of grace. You know, this 1 Corinthians passage, it's a sober passage. Because it says that we are going, our works are going to be judged. We'll be saved if our faith truly is in Christ, but our works may be burned up. Paul also talks of in 2 Corinthians 13, the last chapter of 2 Corinthians, he says, "Examine yourselves to see if you are even in the faith." And I think that's a that's a sober word too, you know, lest we deceive ourselves. If I'm living a compromised life, I need to wake up and say, am I even a Christian? Do I love God more than I love this world? I was actually looking at Psalm 97:10 this morning in devotions, as the Lord would have it. Let those who love the Lord hate evil. And I was just thinking about that, and I had this image that came into my mind of And certainly for the Christian, this really applies, I think. But imagine a woman going home and her husband had replaced all the pictures in the house of her with another woman. There's not a picture of her in the house, but it's him now with some other woman. Well, the jealousy and the rage, rightfully so, that's a righteous anger and righteous jealousy that would be in that woman. And how wrong that is, because it's a violation of the covenant of their marriage. Well, when we sin and when we love our sin, we're committing spiritual adultery. It's like we've put pictures of some other God, some other thing that gives us pleasure in the picture frame other than God. And he's a jealous God, rightfully so. And he will judge that. So it was a picture for me of how do I become a sin-hating follower of Jesus? And for me, I guess I kind of framed it, to use a pun there, by asking what's in the frame, Richard? What's in the frame on your dresser and your desk and in your wallet? What pictures do you have, as a metaphor of do I really have that picture of God and living for his glory and loving him, or do I have pictures of other things, of sins and pleasures of this world, that this is what I'm really in love with? And so I want to be faithful to the Lord. I want to love the Lord, and I want to hate evil. And those two have to be both in place. You can't just do one and not the other. So I don't know if that answers the question, but the life of the Christian really is a life of loving God and hating sin. And it takes a community, and it takes absolutely the Word of God speaking to us into these things.
Well, over the course of my life, I've had the experience of having relationships with two friends who go to two extremes over this question, who I watched walk through extremes of this question. And I'm going to describe them, and I'd like to ask you to speak to each one of those people. One of them kind of really could never have confidence that he was sealed in Jesus because he had such an awareness of his own sin, could never settle into grace at all, and just was so troubled by his own sin and inability to overcome it completely that he just, well, that's just the evidence that I'm not one of the elect, actually, is the way that he put it. I'm not really a Christian. And then the other person went to the other extreme and just had almost a laissez-faire approach, say, hey, grace covers it all. I just don't worry about it. I do what I do, and it's all covered by what Christ has done for me. So I'm not worrying about any of it. And speak to each of those people.
Well, for the person who is undone because he or she sees the sin and says, this must be proof that I'm not, I would turn that absolutely around and say that may be the very proof that the Spirit of God is in you because you hate sin. Yeah, you're struggling with it. You're falling, but you feel guilty. And hopefully it's leading you to repentance. But that, I remember somebody saying, this was a guy who, I can't remember what had happened in his life. It was some terrible sin this guy had fallen into, and he was confessing and he felt so terrible. And his confessor said, this may be the best day of your life. And what he meant by that was because you've woken up to how wretched you really are and how you need grace. And depends on, it's going to depend on what you do with this. Are you just going to, walk away? Or are you going to really press into this and admit, God, I need you and I cannot save myself. And this sin, I think it surprised this man that I don't know what he did, but it surprised even himself. And so would he allow that to awaken him to a deeper need of grace, a deeper work of grace in his life. But I would say, you know, and we've run into this when people feel like they've committed the unpardonable sin. If you're worried that you've committed the unpardonable sin, you haven't committed the unpardonable sin, because otherwise you wouldn't care. So I would say that is evidence of the Spirit of God in that person. Yeah, you're battling sin, and keep battling. Keep relying on the grace of God. Rejoice in that grace that meets you. Therefore, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, and hide yourself there. Even in the misery of, I blew it again, go back. Lord, thank you. The opposite of that, the other person is, you know, I guess the question I'd want to ask is, are you okay with your sin then? Are you okay to go out and do things? And maybe they're not. Maybe they're, you know, yeah, I know I blow it, but I'm not gonna let that get me down. Well, hopefully you're repenting. You see sin as evil and as something that's not good. I think we all sin, and at times unintentionally, we don't even know we've sinned, but oh gosh, look what I did. Why did I say that, do that? And it just happened. And hopefully there's a repentant heart, a humble, soft heart. But I would be concerned with the person who doesn't care and just is going to go live their life. And, you know, it's all grace anyway. God forgives. Well, there is also a scripture, 2 Peter 1:10 talks about how we are to confirm our calling in election. Confirm it, make sure of your calling in election to make sure that you're in the faith. And a casual view of sin is a dangerous sign in a Christian's life. Something's wrong if we take a casual approach to sin. Because Scripture tells us, hate it, cling to what is good, abhor what is evil. That's a strong word, abhor what is evil. Hate, and we don't hear hate often in the Scripture, but we're to hate evil. And so I would just caution us to have not to have too casual a view of sin. It's a beast, and it's deceptive. And if it doesn't take us out from Christ and prove that we're not of Christ, in the end, it's going to be revealed that we've lived our life. We've built with wood, hay, and stubble, and our works will be burned up. And what will we say before the Lord then? You know, thank you for saving me, but gosh, through fire. So anyway, loving God and hating sin. I think that's a tough life in a way, but it's the life we've been given.
Will you pray for us?
I will. Father, teach us to hate sin and to love you more, Lord, to love your glory, to love your purity, and to want to be like you, Lord, in every facet of our lives. Lord, there's none of us who's perfect. Every one of us will stumble and fall. And in those days, Lord, may those be also good days where we once again realize the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the mercy that you have towards sinners. And Lord, use even our falls to break our hardness, to break our unbelief, or to break our selfishness and our lust and our greed and our pride. Use our sin, Lord, to break this hardness in us and to soften us, Lord, that we may be truly a people sold out in love with Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray and glorify. Amen.